right? The Indian middle class doesn't spend. It's disappeared this Diwali, right? The saving rate just doesn't exist anymore. Discretionary spend in India is about 900 billion a year or something. And D2C is about 100 billion. D2C is finally doing is, it's finally eliminating the gap between the buyer and the consumer.
अगर इतना consumption हो रहा है और अगर इतनी बड़ी companies बनेगी तो इनका software कौन बना रहा है? Earlier you could only get $1 million contract with Swiggy. Now that contract itself should be $2 million, and then your Eternal contract can be 3 million. Your Zepto contract could be 1 million. You have now potentially 25 million to 2 million annual contract value locked in just because of the consumer internet.
Around 2020, the total Indian software and cloud market was about $18 billion. We're at about $35-36 billion. In the next 7 or 8 years, we will get to $100 billion. You know, so the way SaaS companies work is 0 to 1 is very hard. 1 to 5 is super hard, and most SaaS companies die around 5 million.
Buy versus build, me people would say we'll build versus buy. Is that changing over time?
A lot of these Indian software companies are pushed to sell in the US. The biggest problem with the US is this.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 54 of the Asymmetric Podcast. Today we have one of the OGs of the Indian software industry, Kuldeep Dhankar, who spent the last 10 years selling software to India. He's today co-founder of Last 9, used to head customer success sales at CleverTap. Before that, spent a bunch of time at Nokia, Microsoft. Kuldeep has been one of the advisors to most software companies on how to sell to India. One of the big believers of building software for India and selling software to Indian companies as well. It's a refreshing light conversation where we discuss the state of software industry today in India, what's happening to SaaS, where did we go right or wrong in selling to the US or developed markets, and in the world of AI, what does the next 10 years look like for the SaaS industry? That and a lot more. Stay tuned.
When did we meet first? 2015, right? 10 saal ho gaye, sir.
2015. My first day at CleverTap, I met River.
फर्स्ट डे एट क्लेवरटैप फर्स्ट पोटेंशियल क्लाइंट फर्स्ट आई थिंक पेड क्लाइंट ये सब थे हम बट फिर भी कुलदीप ने आके बोल दिया कि यार तुम घटिया लोग हो तुम्हें सॉफ्टवेयर पता नहीं क्या होता है ये होता है सॉफ्टवेयर मतलब
अच्छे से बोला था ऐसा नहीं बोला था मतलब आई लर्न
सेल्स फ्रॉम कुलदीप कि सामने वाले को बेशरम शर्मिंदा कर दो कि मतलब यार मैं गधा हूं
नहीं नहीं
मैं गधा हूं
ये गलत है
मतलब धंधा तो मुझे आता ही नहीं गधा तो मैं हूं ठीक है आप $6,000 दे रहे हो ये लोकलिटिक्स के लिए क्या है हम बताते हैं सॉफ्टवेयर आपको एंड देन दे ओपनड अप एंड मतलब वी वर ब्लोन अवे राइट कि मतलब भाई साहब
आई नो दैट वाज You were so kind. It was a great demo, but a shit product, Shantanu. I'm glad he supported us because then he spent next 2 years giving me feedback and fixing it. But you know, once he committed. So there was that.
It was damn fun. Yeah. It was damn fun in the sense ki,
it was fun.
I repaid it in full. Na? 2 saal, I was the most painful client for them. Ki ye feature chahiye, ye feature chahiye.
We loved it. You have no idea. Right? The amount of value that you helped create, it was amazing. 2015 was an amazing time. There were barely any Indian SaaS vendors. Yeah. Right? It was also, I think, a very 14, 15, 16 or 3 years when the whole market changed. There was no more local market, right? People like Passos were really starting to, Rebel Foods, even back then, right? Were really starting to bring technology into traditional businesses and showing people that software is the real heart of an efficient business, right? And it was such a fascinating time to learn. Right? It was the beginning. I think it was truly the beginning of the SaaS era in India. Salesforce had already launched a SaaS era. People didn't know how to buy SaaS. And then when GST showed up, we could finally write simpler invoices and so on. So before that was so complicated, right? How to deal with it and all of that. How to take money. Bill pay dollar likha hai, fir usme itne rupay ka convert kiya hai, how to write these invoices where you're pricing everything in dollars. And you're coming, going into offices where you're telling people that we price in dollars. And the guy is like, what? Why? Main to India mein baitha hoon. Stuff like this. So it was a fascinating time to be doing software. 2014, 15, 16. And you'll notice that we're finally coming on that companies of that vintage, especially SaaS companies, are finally coming to a place where they're starting to get into the IPO mode, right? Where they're all starting to make noises about going IPO. I think the next couple of years are going to be fascinating. Right? We're wrapping up the first decade of Indian SaaS, I think, right now.
You used to always say this back then, which stayed with me, ki yaar, I am head of customer success. I am not head of sales. A lot of SaaS companies who are, ki tech bahut badhiya hai hamara. But kitna bhi badhiya ho, it was your merchant first thought process that you guys would say, ki hamara tech badhiya hai, but agar tumhara business use case solve nahi ho raha hai. तो क्या पॉइंट है सो चलो फिगर आउट करते हैं वी विल बिल्ड व्हाट यू नीड राइट
आई थिंक इट आल्सो रियली कम्स डाउन टू द फैक्ट इज दैट योर व्हेन यू आर यूजिंग सॉफ्टवेयर द बिगेस्ट कॉस्ट दैट यू हैव इज द टैलेंट दैट यू that you have to put on it, right? And if you have to put two more people on software, right, that's very, very expensive, because the people who are really good at software are your most expensive people. I mean, you know, I know it's a terrible analogy, but if you think of people as machines, factory ki machine, na, aapka office chal raha factory hai, machines, right? And these machines are expensive machines, right? And they have to be taken care of and you have to worry about them. But what happens is the biggest fear with software is somebody's going to make something that you're going to have to learn how to use efficiently. And, you know, you're eventually your life and death is going to depend on it in many ways, right? Like, person's job depends on a report, right? I mean, you're a reasonably formidable man. Some kid comes up to you and says, ki, sir, ye report dikhi hai, right? Aap toh bolo ke, ye bakwaas hai, aap toh baja doge uski. Ab, the problem that person has is, ki, yaar, I need to trust the people at CleverTap. And there, if I am talking to this person about, ki, yaar, pichle mahine ka bill na, ya agle mahine ka bill upgrade kara lo, this person loses trust. Because in any other person asking for money and the person delivering the service can never be the same. Every doctor needs a compounder, right? And you can't actually do that, because in India, you need this separation, right? Like, teachers charging for money is not right. This is why EdTech died, right? The reason we hate these, all these EdTech entrepreneurs, right? Then they're small and agile. We love that because, you know, adhyapak hai, teacher hai. When they start charging you money directly, when they become big for being great business people, we don't like doctors, teachers, you know, people who are business people. And this is because we need that separation, right? Business is, oh, this guy is making profit and this guy is delivering something of value. To me, for example, even till date, like whenever somebody says customer success, I tell them, like, globally in SaaS, customer success drives renewals. I disagree. I said customer success should only talk to customers in service mode. Customer success training begins with that if you don't know how to do this thing in customer's office, you are not going to succeed. The customer is not looking to dominate you. They're looking to say, is this person going to listen or not? Because India, mein na, jo dhanda chala raha hota na, uski sunta nahi hai. Sab apni sunane aate hain. And if you can't listen in an Indian customer's office, boss, the problem isn't that you'll succeed or not succeed. The problem is the guy won't work with you. He says, yeah, dude, he's one more problem I have to deal with now. So your first thing you have to do is you have to go in a customer office and convince them that I am not a problem. I am going to stake away these five problems that you have, right? And the only thing that Indian CXOs, at least, right, or founders, to me, CXO bolta hun, bhai, is, can I reduce the number of problems I have to deal with every day? You have decision fatigue of unfathomable proportions. And actually, my job, I believe, in selling software.
You just hit the, yeah, we have covered this in one of the previous episodes, maybe, but not with this nuance. I keep telling my team ki, if you can be more solution-oriented versus problem-oriented. So a lot of people are able to say, achha, problem dikh rahi hai, but they are not able to give three potential solutions ki, achha, I have reasonable confidence on these three, I just need your input on A, B, or C. But if you come and say, ye problem hai, solution kya hoga, then you are not giving me energy. And for founders, you start losing energy. Once you have to work with people who are always citing problem kya ho sakti hai isme, but they are not being more solution-oriented. Like, it's very easy to flag risks. Like, the easiest thing, even for investors, is to flag risk. Right? Isme kya dikkat ho sakti hai? Theek hai, ye dikkat ho sakti hai, toh iska solve kya hai? X kare, Y kare, ya nahi kare? Answer do na. It's very easy to... And I think a lot of people mistake this. Like, you know, in between, I was sitting with one of my teammates and they were saying, ki, yaar, aap Shantanu ki tarif kar rahi thi ke, you have this innate ability to ask the right questions. But usko to question hi puchna, answer thodi de raha. I said, nahin. When I'm saying ask the right questions, is it leads the team to the answer. The right question is not a question that stops you from making a decision. The right question is a question that leads you to the right answer. That's why it's called the right question. Okay. It's actually a solution-oriented question versus a question that stops you from finding the solution. Or, like, people don't get that nuance.
You're talking, I think, about framing, right? That can you frame the thing in such a way that you begin with, like, you know, okay, there is a problem, but the problem is not going to lead us anywhere, right? We are here to solve a problem. I begin every time I talk to my team and ever I've spoken to my team, I begin with this, that startups are improbable, right? So let's begin there, right? Which means that anything that's a problem, you know, like we don't have paucity of problems, we have paucity of solutions. So startups are improbable because nobody knows. Like, ideal startup is somebody who's operating in a place where nobody knows how to do that, right? Shantanu ka example lelo, Old Spice ki aage pata hi nahi tha line mein kabhi na. I mean, he's created this whole category and so on and so forth, right? And I was talking to this founder of this brand called Orakura, right? Their dental hygiene, this thing, out of this thing. And, you know, you'll be surprised how many people actually quote Shantanu saying that, you know, it couldn't be done, but now it could be, right? Like, there's so many brands, right? I mean, they have toothpastes that are so diverse and whatnot. And we are Colgate, yeah, toothpaste, kya hoti, right? Colgate, from toothpaste, we Colgate bolte, right? Our categories were so monotonic, so to speak, right? And we've created, so you're right, right? I mean, startups are operating in a place where the solutions don't exist. And you're trying to make it up, you know, I think I like the word, make it up, right? I don't think it's a solution until somebody says, ha, yehi chalega. Okay, theek hai, chal gaya. Let's follow that. So I think it's framing. You're already
in fact, yesterday, place. I think Revant and I both had board meetings yesterday. And Revant, I know we have not spoken offline, but I'll just tell you this now. On the one of the board members at the end said that today was a crash course in how to run a board meeting. And we did it very differently from the way we used to do it before. So earlier, we tried to solve for ki boss, sara information and perspective 3 ghante mein kaise de sakte hain. Ki ye hamara budget tha, ye humko achieve karna tha, ye hamara performance hai, yahan pe achha hua, yahan pe nahi achha hua. How do we give more airtime to all the management team as the team became bigger? We kept cutting down on the topics to discuss, but it's still, I always felt like board meetings were so rushed. Everyone was rushing through the slides. Even when someone was asking questions, they were feeling guilty about taking time. It just was a clusterfuck. Effective in its own way, but we tried to give 3 reads on time, and you know how it is. Sometimes virtual, sometimes hybrid, sometimes someone in person, etc. Yesterday, we actually just said, keep us three hours. We have only 15 minutes on business. Here is how H1 happened. Here is revenue, EBITDA, PAT, cash, category growth, channel growth, 3-4 top priorities for H2. Here's budget for H2. Literally went through this each slide 2 minutes, not more than that. And we sent the pre-read 3 days back. So I think people are aware. Then we actually had 5 mother slides and 5 big questions we want to answer. And these were like heavy questions, okay? So actually the feedback we got from the board meeting was that 5 ke jage 2 hi karo, baki time nahi milta apne ko. And we put those 5 questions, we put a mental model for framing. We said, here is how we are thinking about it. Here are the 3-4 variables that you need answers to. Here is an assumption. Here is a possible hypothesis, realistic, optimistic, pessimistic. Ab, aap batao kya karna hai. And we kind of just dedicated to the board. Now you guys earn your seat, right? Boss, it was such a good board meeting. We found so much disagreement, so much. I found myself like agreeing with everybody, even though they had very different viewpoints, which is amazing, right? Ki haan, yaar, ye sahi bol raha hai, aise soch raha hai, ye sahi bol raha hai, ye bhi sahi hai. And it was just a framing of those questions, prioritizing them, kind of along the, we used the whiteboard in the middle to kind of just putting some notes down. End of the day, we said, fine, here is what this crystallized into. We're going to put two board members in small committees to solve this over the next 6 months. Some of this will get solved in 3 months, some of this in 2 years. And let's take an update on this every 3 months. It was so beautiful because we framed the question, right? And I was like, boss, yes, yehi karna chahiye, yaar. Like, that was really cool.
Let me also say this. The weirdest thing about Revant is this. When I first met him, he was the CFO and the CMO. And I was like, yeah. Isn't there like a left brain, right brain model? What the hell is happening here? Like, it's a CMO and a CFO. I'm like, either this company is really evolved or they're really screwed. Right? I'm like, wow. Like, these two people are never supposed to get along, man. The CMO burns cash. The CFO is saying, bhai, kya kar raha hai? Right? Correct. I'm like, does this guy sit in front of a mirror and play chess with himself every day? Right? Because it's such a weird thing he was doing, right? And the fact that they're still around and thriving, apparently he did something right.
No, so, I screwed up that year. 2015, I screwed up very badly. Burned a lot of cash in the 2015 year.
You and everybody else, Revant.
I know.
It was a fun year for us.
I think the only thing that went for us is that we survived. I think most others went down. And I still credit this to us just stopping 4 months before. I think everybody shut down the cash burn by March, April 16. We shut it by November 15. And that 4 months saved us massively. Plus, because we raised a Series C. And as soon as I got the money in the bank, I shut the burn.
Yeah, it's probably important to remember this 2016. Food tech didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
So this is the pre-Zomato, Instamart, all of these
guys,
right?
D2C.
Yes.
It was our own app and there was no marketplace. We were a fully D2C, own app, own website business. There was no marketplace business.
And people were writing articles about food tech will never work and there'll be no companies built in this space. You remember that, right? Everybody was like being saying, the economics don't work out. Like,
we were a little early, to be honest. Like other companies in that era, we were just a little early and it just took a little longer to get there. We've discussed this, I think, 1 or 2 episodes back also, that the India consumption story has just materially started to evolve now. And therefore, now you see the possibilities. In fact, the biggest risk, at least I see with people who have been in the ecosystem for the last 10, 15 years, is that because we've got scarred so many times, hoping ki market aayega aur fir nahi aaya tha, we've become a little conservative and jaded and we are no longer as optimistic as we should be. But this is the time to really be optimistic and say, yeah, this is the time. Like, in fact, yesterday, again, there was a debate. I'm like, why are we still questioning what is the market size that we can get to on any segment, right? On any segment. And they're like, nahi, we have to be thoughtful. 5 saal mein kya hoga, kisi ko pata nahi hai. And I used the market narrative only and said, yaar, both things can't be true. That people are saying that Eternal will become a $100 billion business and online markets will not grow. So something has to get disproven. And I think I'm not saying we don't have to be contrarian, but there enough people seem to believe that
And Instamart is going to raise the $8 billion. Zepto is going to go IPO. So if there are billions of dollars being put into the fact that Quickcom will grow and Amazon now is finally taking off and Jio is putting dark stores. And today I met another founder who's pivoted from next day delivery to 30-minute delivery. So if the entire consumption cycle seems to be at a place where all of us, VCs, early stage, founders, operators, PEs, public market, is all saying, yeah, we believe this is the year, then why would we still say that, oh, but what if the market doesn't grow? But all of you are putting money right there. So there's a contradiction that I see, right? Then why would we not go on?
There's another old boss of mine used to say that, Kuldeep, humans can't ride exponential curves. They don't know how they work, right? Because they just go, boom, right? Exponential curve, they grow slowly and then they almost immediately. And I think the thing with the great Indian number trick is because it's, we only think linearly, you can justify anything you want, right? Will the market size be there or not and stuff like this? Who had imagined that Indian saving rate, which was considered the great Indian bulwark, right? The Indian middle class doesn't spend. It's disappeared this Diwali, right? The saving rate just doesn't exist anymore. We finally finished the transition to consumerist society, right? I'm talking about brands that are saying that we are too cheap. We are attracting the wrong kinds of customers. I want to price up. Right, earlier I was talking to Shantanu about a brand, right? That's that pricing. That's you know, D2C brands are gonna have gutsy enough and they're gonna try for the 90% gross margin business. You know what? I am selling software. Software is considered the best business model, right? 70-80% gross margins are not unheard of. You know what? I think we're about to find out why these people who make these fancy bags are some of the richest people in the world, right? When you go up there saying why, because I think India is about to unlock that. And I think, I don't know, does it have the psychological component because of COVID or whatnot? But I think modeling India in our heads, right, has classically been a problem. No data, nothing, classes, class system, very different understanding. Nobody really understands tier three, tier four anyways. And tier two itself is like, you know, very misunderstood opportunity, right? I mean, which is why I think it's a very, very difficult space to navigate. So I wouldn't, you know, I just simply saying that some of us who've been able to navigate this exponential curves, right? Either we did it through luck or maybe we did it through some amount of understanding and understanding that boss, you know, the ground data, the ground truth seems to be very different from what people are modeling, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's...
Also, it's it seems more democratic considering it's not just a tier one thing with Quickcom. I'm hearing Meesho this month will go IPO at $8.5 billion.
Yeah.
Now, if there is appetite for Meesho at $8.5 billion, then people are also saying that Bharat is going to be democratically consuming, which is what Meesho is enabling, right? In tier three, tier four of India. So it seems that somewhere... Either it's just pure liquidity or somewhere we don't believe our own story that India is going to arrive. Or if not, if it's not already arrived, it's going to arrive in the next 5 years. Which is why billions of dollars will go into these companies and believe that they will capture a bulk of the consumption depth or the new age consumption that's happening. Whether it's India 1, 2, 3 or 4 at AOV of 1,000, 10,000 or 100 rupees like Meesho. Everything seems to be democratically getting back. To believe that, ha, yaar, 5 years mein these will become even more powerful platforms because the mom and pop kirana store which is getting disrupted by Quickcom or the gaon mein distribution jo nahi ho raha tha by Meesho or every one of these models, right? And there is obviously a Shadowfax, a Shiprocket, even those IPOs are going to get appetite. Like everything seems, and I don't believe it's any more a liquidity hai, ki liquidity hai iske liye ja raha hai. Because there was an argument made in between that SIP flows itne hai, mutual funds don't know whether to deploy money. And therefore, mutual fund managers are smart. They'll find ways. If they can get 10% somewhere, they'll get it somewhere. But they fundamentally, I think they are finally seeing that there is value in this change of behavior that is being driven, either being driven by the platforms or the fact that that behavior ko cater karne ke liye new platforms will exist and the old platforms are not able to capture.
So my argument is much simpler because, you know, again, I don't have the nuance and the view of the ground truth that, you know, you gentlemen have. But I was arguing earlier with Chirag, right? And you guys will check me on these numbers, right? But my understanding is discretionary spend in India is about 900 billion a year or something of that nature, something of that. And only, and D2C, including everything, right? Forget the categories, like the direct to consumer is about 100 billion right now, right? And about 44% of that is just fashion, right? And India's traditionally been, you know, was it Mr. Manoj Modi who said that India is a supply constrained market? Right, not a demand constrained market. If supply appears, demand just shows up, right? And it's one of those things. My view is that what D2C is finally doing is it's finally eliminating that gap between the buyer and the consumer. So, you know, you go to a medical, I should tell people, you go to a medical store and you used to ask for Ceridon, right? But Ceridon is basically a generic, right? Propranolol, paracetamol and caffeine. Used to have these three. I think they removed Propranolol now. It's only as caffeine and paracetamol. But our paracetamol be mang sakte the. And paracetamol is like the cheapest molecule around, right? I mean, Ceridon could command a premium, but the fact that you have that display may Ceridon, ad of display of Ceridon, right? The buyer, right? You know, the buyer was always the medical store guy, right? You could go and ask for an aspirin at a medical store and they wouldn't have it because we don't stock it. Right? So the people couldn't express that choice. For example, if you want to buy a 10,000 rupees Japanese denim ka, you know, Japanese denim ka trousers, you know you can't go to your local jeans vendor, right? Because the buyer there who has the thing in stock is different. You are the consumer. So if you are an evolved consumer today and you get shown an ad of Monks of Method for a 24,000 rupees jeans, which is 24 ounce Japanese salvage denim, and the guy's a nerd, right? Everybody's connected to the world, right? It's not some tier one guy, right? And I'm telling you the real story. The guy says, we got an order for a 24,000 rupees, 24 ounce. This is a very heavy pair of jeans. Basically, sir, it's like canvas. Tent ka kapda hai, itna mota kapda hota hai. It's a beautiful pair of jeans, right? Warranted for life and whatnot. And you buy it. Now, it's one consumer in some tier two city. You can't profitably address them. But the fact is that a consumer and a buyer have merged now. Is, I think, what's really causing disruption of distribution. And every distributor, those traditional people used to have stockists and so on and so forth, they should be really afraid because their way of business is going to die slowly at first and then immediately. Right? Like, it's going to just go away because, you know, I can profitably service every corner of this country, right? And I think that's where the real revolution is happening. You know why I'm excited about it? Because 15% of all of this is going to be software.
Actually, 15% I was going to come to that. If I see, like, Indian SaaS companies or startups were always told go and sell to the US because India may nobody pays for software. Now, there are two things. One is India traditional companies may not have spent that much on software and Indian startups are too small. Their consumption is too low and therefore your annual contract value will be too small. Do you now see that? I mean, I'm sure you were a big believer in always selling to India. Like to a Swiggy or a Hotstar, you would have $1 million contracts that most other people would not. But there would be only, how many such companies would there be? You can't create a 150 million US ACV business by just selling to India. But do you think that is possible now considering India consumer is growing and therefore Indian businesses are growing much larger compared, startups are growing larger compared to incumbents. And therefore now you have enough enterprise clients in India to sell to.
I love how you framed it, by the way. Thank you for saying 150 million because I can make an argument. If you could get Ravi Teja Doda, Avlesh and Anand on the same table, right? You have in the same room, in the same category for essentially, effectively, right? Different tiers. Like, you know, three different tiers, right? Samsonite, American Touristers, right? Depending on each people. You have a $200 million company right there, ERR, selling the same software effectively. Most of their business, most of their business is actually spread out of the world, but this is a 150 million plus most of the business comes from India and Indosphere. You know, the buyer in Dubai is not that different from buyer in India. India is such a powerhouse in writing software. So, but let me address that in sequence, right? Traditional Indian companies for the past 10 years have been going through drastic digital transformation, right? People have been, like, you know, today an Aditya Birla spends millions of dollars on cloud, right? I mean, people like Aditya Birla. I'm using them as a placeholder. I don't know how many millions of dollars they spend, right? But significant, right? But the most important reason has come is that you know, in all the world, wherever software is written, one thing you will always find, where the best software is written is where there is a local market there for it, right? So most SaaS in the world, it gets written in essentially three places. The US, which is East and West Coast. There is Tel Aviv, right? Israel, which is, by the way, also a local big soft. Because so many tech companies selling to tech companies. And India. And in India, also effectively three cities, right? NCR, MMR, and Bangalore, right? Combine this. Chennai has a lot of software, but Chennai has a very different, weird sort of a SaaS ecosystem. They're very aligned to the US and they try to sell in the US. Only a few have broken out. Right? Nobody really knows the numbers around Zoho, right? Because, you know, they keep saying they're $1 billion in revenue and they probably are, but they're a private entity. So, you know, most of the business isn't auditable or invisible. But Freshworks is, right? So that's Chennai SaaS. We'll talk about Chennai SaaS in a bit. Software is human effort compressed, right? Like when I'm writing a marketing automation software or when I'm basically saying that, hey, you know what? I want to create an e-commerce website. Today, I'm sure all of you guys are like, you know, and I know, Chirag, you're offering an alternative to some of this, but you're effectively saying that, you know, I was going to do this. Pehle aap wo Magento install karte the, uske baad mein ye plugin, wo plugin, 5 developer and all. So today, you just do Shopify. Shopify was like a good enough job at meeting the local needs. But here's the thing. Startups in India, on an average, spend about 5x the spending intensity on software because their USP is software. You're not going to be able to hire the same people. You know, so your advantage as a startup is basically the software you purchase and the software you operate at that scale. This was, I think, very true, Revant, at Passos, the business that you built. This was before all of these stacks existed. You were sending your own writers out. You were trying to build a kitchen very close in the dark kitchen model. You know, it was so such early days that nobody even knew what the scale was going to work. But your advantage was somebody could express an intent on a glass rectangle and you could make the food appear on their desktop or on their doorstep 30 minutes from now, right? This is magic. right? I mean, I like to oversimplify things because, you know, does it feel like magic? Sure, bloody does, right? I mean, even today, Jubilant Food remains a good business, right? They can make a pizza appear at your doorstep in 30 minutes and guarantee it, right? Stuff like that. So software, it gives you this advantage of, you know, one is it removes, you know, it's a distance arbitrage. There's a time arbitrage. You don't have to call something up. Kunal Shah has this lovely theory called Delta 4, where the experience improves by 4 stars. You know, you never go back, right? Happened with cabs, happens with food tech, happened with grocery stores, so on and so forth. Now, what that all of that does is, a lot of these companies, they would initially try to build their own software, right? But if you go back and you look at Michael Porter's theory on competition, right? Cluster theory, the BDS theory, right? Business development services. Businesses always say, in the end, all decisions on software get made at the CFO room. He says, you know what? I have 20 people writing this software. The other guy is selling it for $100,000. Can I just get rid of these 20 people? Because in the end, you know, the CFO is the final first, you know, the person who eventually triggers layoffs, right? I know, but I'm saying, you know, that's a karmika saika hai mekanism, right? Which is why the CFO is a software seller's best friend, because they create the conditions in which a business says, hey, you know what, I can replace 20 people with $500,000 contract. And more often than not, that happens. And which is why I'm saying software is human effort compressed, right? Now, Indian companies are becoming so aware of that. Like, for example, nobody questions. I mean, I know some people do, but let's say nobody questions that I need to launch a D2C app. My launch is going to be on Shopify because it just does it like that, right? Toby built a phenomenal company, right? And they're so consumer focused and so on. So I know there are concerns, issues, and so on and so forth. That resistance will always remain. But I don't think there's a single person here who wouldn't champion Shop, right? Everything that Chirag does is being consumer obsessed, while helping them reduce RTOs and selling them additional services. You would have to, like Chirag, every time Chirag makes a software sale, 2 jobs fail to be created. Right? People don't fire people because you bought software. You just don't hire more people, right? And by the way, that's a good thing, because if you don't improve efficiency, it's hard business to run. So to me, when I'm talking from first principles, that when people say India mein software mat becho, I'm like, first of all, that just doesn't pass the smell test. But what they're really saying is, and for the longest time, you couldn't list a software business in India.
Why so?
Right? You couldn't even, you know, the market didn't know how to value them, right? And by the way, surprisingly, it's this company called Traxion. That changed that perception. Traxion listed at 10 million revenue, and they're still there, right?
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, wait, Traxion's a data as a service company, and they've listed at 10 million, and wow, it can happen. Now, I wouldn't recommend you go list at 10 million, right? Traxion's built with some serious experienced operators, right? But my point is, suddenly the Indian retail has shown up and saying, you know what, I'm not going to put my money in a bloody FD. I want to buy stock, and then every stock that list gets oversubscribed and so on and so forth. The best part is this. Software businesses have fearsome margins. Because, you know, as in a D2C business, you've got to make 10 of that same product or 20, or you have to batch and you have inventory costs and so on. In software, I make one product and I keep selling it again and again and again and again and again, right? My biggest cost are my COGS, right? I have R&D and whatnot, right? But I can do 80% margin. The software business are doing 90%. Figma, the recent listing, 92% gross margin.
But
that's beautiful,
but
right?
10 years or whatever, even 5 years back, was it more listing or the fact that you couldn't get to 4 million as an individual company selling in India? Which was not large enough for someone to get to, let's say, $1 billion, $2 billion, which would be the venture outcome that VCs would need. I thought that was more. I mean, listing is a recent phenomenon. I don't disagree on that. But I think it was already
starting to be visible by 21 that there's going to be listings, right, in India, and Indian market is going to be ready for Indian startups, right? The conversation was starting to be had. But here's the thing. Around 2020, the total Indian software and cloud market was about $18 billion.
Okay.
Less than that, right? Most of the biggest buyers were big companies, government, and all of that. We're at about $35, $36 billion, right? There's a report, the data is fairly visible, but you know, it's only accurate in big chunks. In the next 7 or 8 years, we will get to $100 billion of total purchasing. Now, remember, this is recurring spends. So software companies get a contract. Like, you know, for example, when you pay, you know, all of us know there are AWS bills and they have to be paid. And that is our fundamental infrastructure. You can skip your electricity bills, you can't skip your AWS bills or, you know, Google Cloud bills or, you know, Azure bills and so on and so forth. Our point is that spend continues and goes in one direction. These are utilities. These are modern utilities, right? Now we're adding inference to that and so on and so forth. The point is you could do that, but again, it's like riding the curve. If you set up a company, it's going to take 10 years for you to get to $100 million. If you set up a company in 2015 or 14, you are going to have to wait till 2024 to get to that 100 million mark. And hey, guess what? I know 2 companies that got very close to that mark, right? COVID did shake things up a little bit. But, you know, from my understanding, and I don't get the data anymore, right? Both CleverTap and Moengage are within touching distance or probably have already exceeded, depending on how really the data is, that mark. And these are Indian companies. Most of their operations are in India. Most of them try to sell in globally and so on and so forth. There are other software businesses that focus on India, right? And you know, gain revenue. Now it's gotten even easier because the software hunger of Indian businesses is almost impossible high. Every procurement person you meet, right, is today a specialist in buying software, right? Procurement is getting smarter about it. CFOs are getting smarter about it. So yes, I will agree with you that in 2020, you would say, yeah, there won't be a $100 million business in India, right? But that's the same problem that, you know, D2C also faced.
Yeah.
That's the same problem everybody faced. How big could the market get? But you know, this is the most, I think this is a very, India is a very interesting economy in the sense that it always surprises you because, you know, there's so many things that were suppressed, right? Like, you know, people who have gold with them, right, are suddenly today richer, right? Because the ability of loan that they could take against gold suddenly goes up, right? Gold is so much more expensive. So those people have more money in their pocket or have more net worth, which means they're going to make purchase, they're going to purchase more. So every time I see how many D2C businesses in India are doing more than 100 crores a month, I'm like, wow, I'm going to sell software for a long time. You can't run a business at the scale without buying software.
I agree. So that's the second order effect that I also thought of. If earlier you could only get $1 million contract with Swiggy, now that contract itself should be $2 million, and then your Eternal contract can be $3 million. Your Zepto contract could be $1 million. You have now potentially 25 million to 2 million annual contract value locked in just because of the consumer internet. And you see more and more such, like there is a Snabbit and some Pronto. So there are more consumer tech investments. I'm just saying.
Allow me to add one more thing. Jio buys triple digit million software a year.
Wow.
Their software budget is in triple digit millions.
Yeah, Jiohotstar would be massive, right? Anyway. Yeah. So
these are massive. So they're massive customers in India and you can get amazingly large.
Why are we not seeing more SaaS startups? It seems like they've disappeared, right? Like, yeah, to some AI hai. Like, why is there, like, I don't see SaaS being talked about in India any longer. Like it was ki, yes, people were skeptical, kitna bada banoge, but at least there would be bets being taken. I don't see software bets being taken today. I don't see entrepreneurs saying, yeah, SaaS mein badhiya kuch banate. Like, I know you said software is going away, it's outcomes, but I mean, technically, it's still software in some way, right? Or I mean, it's AI agents, but.
Easy to explain. So India has traditionally faced, so, you know, when you want to look at how industry develops, you always look at the people providing the credit. In our, for credit, it's VCs, right? Risk capital, right? And all, I think it was, I forget the name, I think it was Gentleman and Matrix who first opened my eyes to this model, right? That there were really only three core profit pools in this country, right? You loan money, right? I think you loan money, you get a license, or you export, right? There are only three ways to make profits, right? And this was true until 2020, which means that, you know, everybody's saying export the software, bring dollars in, and there's this whole fallacious view, right? That somehow, American will pay a dollar, Indian will pay 1 rupee for the same thing, right? You know, a dollar is bigger than rupee and all that, you know. And anybody who makes that thing, you know, I don't even argue anymore because I simply in my head saying, this man's shit, I'm going to move on, right? Because there's no point arguing with people like this. Because here's my point, and I think Shantanu, you'll agree with this. India A pays dollar price for everything they buy. They buy a phone, they buy the cars, they buy everything they buy, they pay. Actually, everybody who buys an iPhone in India is paying more than dollar price for it, right? They're paying a 33% premium on this, right? And you look at everything, right? Like, you know, Tesla sells cars. Now, this is not, they're not selling hundreds of cars, but they're selling cars. It's about 2x more expensive than it's in America, right? So my point is, look, the real problem is that the people funding these companies have always had this bit of a view that you gotta go and sell in the US. The problem that happened is that we are in this very awkward, weird phase. Where companies that were built could not scale their sales in America. To sell in America, you must be an American company with complete, you know, for a moment they were trying to do this labor arbitrage. COVID put paid to that because labor arbitrage disappeared, right? Companies like Rippling offer effectively the same salaries that they would offer in the Midwest out there in Bangalore, right? I mean, people are making 1.5 crore packages, right? So the labor arbitrage disappeared, right? Because, you know, during COVID, remote work, what difference was it that you're sitting in the Bay Area or here, right? So you could grab all the talent. So there has been this very weird phase where people were not getting funded on India first VCs, right? And now we are at this very awkward phase where that vintage of the company doesn't exist. But most companies founded around COVID are finally realizing and looking at, like, the company I'm building, India has always been the primary market and I'm selling to the US where my CAC is acceptable. Now, here's the thing, very similar problem to D2C. And I actually think of D2C and SaaS as very interesting businesses because I'm also effectively a D2C business. I manufacture, I distribute and I sell directly to the customer, avoiding everybody in the middle, right? No middleman in my business. No, and your whole business model is basically cutting out the middleman, right? And, you know, my margins are a little bit better, but you guys are all getting there effectively from a
D2C. Your cost of delivery is much lower. That's a big difference. The reason your margins are better
you haven't seen my AWS bill.
Okay. Let me put it differently. The thing I really, this was, I think somebody had put, I don't know why there are so many gyanis today on Twitter. Like somebody said, oh, Meesho 200 rupees paise kaise bana raha hai, Flipkart nahi bana raha hai. And this, that. Once it goes public, loss badh jayega, ye hoga. I'm like, yeah, simple thing hai. Everybody built e-commerce on thick stack. Meesho is building pure software business. So the cost of growth
is not giving you incremental overheads and Acor warehouse and char or delivery boys and all of that stuff. And you can never optimize those over time because there's just too much physical goods you're handling, physical people, actual infra, right? Like software, the beauty I find is, yes, AWS bills are expensive, but at least the marginal cost of scaling
is much lower.
Effectively zero. Marginal cost.
Sorry, Aniket Nikum had a very nice way of framing this. He basically said that Meesho is basically a tech company with a TAM of 100 crore people.
I think that's another one I think I read it
on Twitter only. I think Revan Chadag only said it. It's basically a logistics company wrapped in a marketplace.
Considering a lot of the SaaS bets that people have done over the last 10 years have not given them the massive returns that they expected and the size of the outcomes wasn't big. I think sometimes mujhe lagta hai kya hota na, log dekhte hai ki acha, let's look at our last 10 years and learn what did we learn from our mistakes. And they'll, I think, conclusion aega ki yaar haan, SaaS chhod do, pata nahi kitna hi bada banega. Mujhe aisa lagta hai kabhi kabhi ye sab bhi hota hai. Ki we are still too caught in the past versus we are looking future forward ki yaar, agar itna consumption ho raha hai aur agar itni badi companies banegi, to inka software kaun banana hai?
The big thing is that a lot of these Indian software companies are pushed to sell in the US. The biggest problem with the US is this. The US is a very different market, which doesn't really care about the present, they only care about the future. Everything is like, you know, time value of money, time value of money. And a great example, because this is the one example we can talk about with authority, is Freshforce, right? They're somewhere at $700-$800 million of revenue, right? And by the way, check me on these numbers. I could be a little bit off, but not a lot. To me, as a sales guy, I only look at a few numbers, right? Margin to sab theek ho jata hai. But the real thing is, of the operating expenses, what are you spending on sales and marketing, right? They're well over somewhere in the 50 to 60% of their operating expenses, sales and marketing, right? Now you say, okay, the churn rate, I'm not exactly sure, so I'm not going to name it, but it's reasonably high. But their biggest and most damning metric is, what is the time it takes you to recover CAC from gross margin? I'm sure you guys
same, LTV CAC like is consumer tech ho, consumer brand ho, SaaS ho, sab mein LTV CAC
payback.
So
what would you say, what would you say if I gave you a business that said LTV CAC or the time to recover my CAC is 48 months?
Wow. The worst retail companies, by the way, are in that. Worst. Like even a McDonald's store, when they put a 1.5 crore ka store, their payback on that real estate, fixed deposit, the cost of making the store is
2 years.
Worst stores will be like 3 years. Payback matlab pura apna profit se, EBITDA se apne jo kharcha 1.5 crore pe wo store banaya, wo recover kar liya apne. So EBITDA after...
And this is, and these are improved numbers, sir. By the way, their what do you call, share-based compensation is like 20-ish. 18-20%
off, right? Comp, so, or off revenue, you know, off comp,
off operating expenses, off as a percentage, SBC. So it's S&M, R&D, G&A, SBC as a percentage of total operating income in a year.
That's massive.
I mean, you can see this again. By the way, if I'm wrong, these mistakes, errors are mine, but you should refer them. The data is very referenceable, clouded judgment.
This is Freshworks, and this is the gross margin adjusted CAC payback.
It was 24, which is still not good, by the way, right? And if you look at the current data, you'll find this same number has been through a hell of a journey, right? Now, this is, I don't want to make this about Freshworks, but I'm making an example. Indian company going to the US, entering a category that already existed, by the way. Freshworks didn't create the category. They became a challenger in a category, right? And the point is that CAC never caught up. And this, again, my own view, that CAC never really caught up because, you know, you just keep spending more and more. Here's the thing. If you're going to hire people in an expensive place like this, you're going to pay a sales guy 200K, 150, 200K base, and they're going to expect commission, which has to be industry average. Very quickly, you're spending a lot of money. In India, you can hire a fantastic sales guy, something like 30, 40 lakh rupees base, and pay them about, you know, 8% commission on a sale. And of that sales rep, fully loaded, what is called as, you know, on-target earning, OTE, you can get about a 6 to 7x return. So for every dollar that you pay your sales guy, you're getting $7. In the US, you'll be lucky if you get 3, you probably get 2. Now, here's the problem. Those numbers are impossible to get down from under. They're probably better businesses. And what's happened is, a lot of the Indian companies that were sent there didn't really have any experience in operating in that market. So they're cutting corners in the weird places, right? Here's another number I'll throw at you. Just the compliance cost of being listed in the US is about a percentage of your revenues. Just the compliance cost.
Wow.
I mean, it's an important market, right? You got to be very careful. You can't say this. You can't do that. There's a whole division. The CFO has to run a whole damn office just to make sure that, you know, the shareholder relationship. It's just such an expensive place, right? I mean, people say Indian companies don't have that standard of reporting on. Sure. But have you been to a really regulated market that crushes you? And the point is, these are all Indian operators who haven't operated in this high pressure environment and so on and so forth, right? For example, most Indian CEOs are not going to listen to their lawyers before they go out and speak their mouth, right? Unless you're under silent period of listing. But in America, you can't make forward-looking statements as a CEO, right? Stuff like that. So it's more complex, more advanced, and more importantly, your competition, which is local, always has access to faster and better capital than you. Right? Almost always true. Now, for a moment, I'm not going to talk about AI because it's a completely different ballgame. But what's happened is a lot of our VCs have pushed people out. Go west, young man, go and sell there. Now, a young man who was IIT Bombay, which means he knows all the local bars in Powai Valley, but doesn't know anything about America, right? And this person probably came from a small town in IIT anyways. Shows up in San Francisco, right? And instantly somehow supposed to, like, software selling is a connected business. Right now in this room, I probably have a couple of 100K of ACV if I could reach out and talk to you guys. Right? And I could message you, you'll politely say, no problem, right? There are 1,600. Steve Ballmer famously said that I only need to sell to one person in the top 500 companies in the world, and I've already got $1 billion of revenue. You know what? I probably, after 20 years of operating this market, can reach out to maybe 50% of the top 500 companies in the country. They would probably know me with one degree of connection, and they would be able to say a polite yes or Kuldeep, meet me next month or whatever. So, right? Now, imagine if you throw me in the US, right? Now, sure. People knowing people, 6 degrees of freedom and all of the theory. But look, I'm going to be helpless, right? So I'm going to have to hire local talent. Now this local talent is going to wonder that, I don't understand this person. He doesn't even watch Monday Night Football, right? Cultural differences matter, man. I mean, if I talk to that guy about what an amazing cricketer Virat Kohli is, that guy's like, he will nod along because I'm the boss. But, there's no communication happening.
So in your view...
But here's the thing. A VC in the US is comfortable with this conversation, but the founders aren't.
Hmm. When they go to the US, they hire a local sales team and they don't know how to extract the best out of that local sales team. Is that what you're saying? Because I thought US is professional enough that people would know that this is a sales quota, this is an incentive. Are you saying that a lot of us who go to the US later make maybe first-timer mistakes on how to hire, what is the right sales culture?
There's a lovely phrase.
So just to finish, at this scale, if you're saying at 700, 800 million revenue scale, if Freshworks still hasn't figured out this, employee cost and S&M cost to what revenue I should be getting, just something seems a little broken, right? Like sometimes people ask me, kya Instamart ka 20% negative CM hai? Is there something fundamentally that they still have not figured out? Because that scares people, right? Ki, will this company ever make money?
Grow. You're still growing, right? So you keep growing.
I don't think Freshworks is growing at that pace. Instamart, I can still say 100% year-on-year growth. So, okay, we'll do it. We'll figure out. But
the way the growth works in SaaS is, just to finish, it grows, then it asymptotes. You're doing it like this, suddenly things just load up, right? You have, after 4 or 5 years, there's a version of 7-year itch in software contracts. After 3-4 years, right, customers start getting saying maybe there are better options. Maybe there's somebody else. They start talking to your competitors. So what happens is it builds up, and suddenly it flattens out. Your churn goes through the roof, right? So all of these effects combined, right? Now, look, I have no experience at the scale that Freshworks experiences. But I have experienced young founders, new founders, experienced founders going to the US and immediately paying the brown man tax. The brown man tax is very simple. You go and hire a bunch of white men. Point I'm making is you're going to hire a brown man. A brown man's going to hire a white man. They're not going to be able to relate. The professionalism doesn't exist. Now, this happens. Now, what happens is the VCs don't see it because to them, they're from America. They're from some of the top colleges, right? Some of us know Dhruvil, right? A lot of people, Dhruvil is a great example of an Indian company doing reasonably well in the US. A lot of people forget Dhruvil is from CMU. His network is in the US. So when Dhruvil goes to the US, he's not paying the brown man's tax. But I assure you, if I go drop an NCVC bomb in a hot, heated conversation, I'm getting sued. And, so the way SaaS companies work is 0 to 1 is very hard. 1 to 5 is super hard. And most SaaS companies die around $5 million for business, right? Because that's when you need to raise a bit of a growth round, right? And then you need to get to 25 and 50 and so on and so forth, right? Most companies die between, like, if you really, really grow, between 50 to 100 is a very awkward pace. You don't grow out of it because then you have to open new markets, right? But today, almost in every category, you can get to 25 million of ARR in just India. And 0 to 1 India today is a friends and family conversation. You can make 5 calls and get to $1 million in India. US is such a competitive, tough, big market that it's very hard to compete. And I keep telling people, there's nothing wrong with competing at the global layer. But if there is an easier market available, where you can get to 10, I'm not saying don't sell in the US. I'm saying learn how to sell in India first. Right? Because it's a big enough market for almost every category. And you can name a category, I can tell you the TAM of that category. Massive TAMs. Right? Massive TAM. Salesforce, I don't even want to talk about how much revenue they make in India, right? It's a massive, massive company. Everybody's a Salesforce customer, right? Bajaj Finserv, which is such a massive Salesforce customer. Like, the only number I've heard publicly spoken is somewhere in the tune of $20, $25, $30 million a year just for Salesforce and software. And if American companies are selling in India and you are not selling in India, well, I mean, I don't know what to say to that.
And Kuldeep, dusra problem bhi hai na.
ki when a Freshworks goes there, let's say what would be they overall as a market share of that category? Mere ko lagta less than 5% hoga.
I think they're reasonably market share, but the problem is that chasing that market share at whatever cost is what has cost them, I think. Right? And the stocks are all time low. But you know, I mean, they're working on fixing it. It's very hard to predict these things, right? So I'm not saying that they will never come back or whatever, right? What I'm just saying is when I look at that business, right, it feels like that that chase for US dollars versus dollars from India seems very weird. To me, you can run a business out of Dubai from Mumbai, and you can run a business in Singapore from Bangalore. It's so easy. Right, SaaS is sold in large clusters. So between MMR, NCR, Bangalore, Singapore, Dubai, we have five amazing centers of economy that buy a lot of software. I tell people, do your 10 million here. You would have a sales team. You would be experienced. You know your value proposition. You land with some level of maturity, right? And then you actually have a chance of winning in the US versus go there and land. Now, the other model is fine. Leave, get an O1, build an office in the US, build that business. But that's as if you're exporting entrepreneurs. I really don't think those are Indian companies. They're just Indian founders.
Do you see a valuation gap, and maybe that's the other reason why people want to build for the US? Like, do investors say that if you are, I will find the US dollar contract client higher gross margin and therefore more valuable compared to the Indian guy who may not give you that dollar retention or maybe lower gross margin? Is that a factor that plays into people's minds?
So dollar retention is actually not really a problem with India, because Indian customers, when they trust a software vendor, they intend to continue working with them. Because again, you know, once you find a good vendor, you're probably going to renegotiate pricing, right? And my view is nobody wants to just go down to a renegotiation just because they feel like it, right? Costs are always a problem. It's a part of COGS. If it's a part of COGS, your whole imperative is to see, hey, can I cut a few percentage down? Because that COGS percentage is, you know, reflects directly in your gross margin. So that's fair. That's the game, and that's the game, right? You got to be able to play it, right? Now, as a purchase power parity and everything, doesn't it? Yes, you are going to make lower gross margin in India. But remember, you're also, your own COGS are also lower in India.
It's in sales and marketing, right?
For example,
you're saying.
No, that's operating cost, but you know, even your own AWS pricing, and you know, customers are okay to be with, okay. You know, you could, for example, I could offer a customer in India 99.5% availability versus 99.9%. And they're saying, you know what, I'm not, myself not operating at 3 nines. I'm okay with 2.5 nines. An American company will never take a 2.5 nine contract, right? Now, the thing with the way reliability works is that 2.5 nines of reliability is actually significantly cheaper than 3 nines of reliability.
Right? The cost go exponential for the last bit, basically.
Yeah.
So there's a way to tweak that, right? For example, there's a way to tune that, yeah, yeh nahi karenge, yeh karenge, and so on and so forth, right? For example, I'll give you an example right now as a nerdy thing, right? I'm looking at the t-shirt that Shantanu's wearing, right? That seam on the shoulder that he has is called a friend seam. That tells me that t-shirt is probably 1,000 rupees plus, because it takes an extra effort for the tailor to stitch that. You buy a cheap t-shirt from the leading t-shirt brand in the country, they don't do that seam. They just take the two kapda and they stitch it. Now the problem with that seam is it inches you. Right? But since the user doesn't know, what happens is that they're betting that I will deliver a slightly lower quality product in India and improve my margins, right? And the t-shirt that he's wearing was probably made for export and then copied for sale into India, right? That happens. Happens with software also.
I understand, right? But sorry to interrupt, but if the hypothesis is that Indian companies are now becoming large, and let's take the Swiggy's, the Zepto's, and the Meesho's of the world, which are big software companies, which may need more software for their consumer tech software, by design, wouldn't they also be like the large US companies where they would want the double digit nine decimal? Because
this
is a, like, just to be very clear, like I know I was a very painful client for CleverTap. I'm a very painful client for GoQuick also. I'm like, yeah, infrastructure company, like I need better availability than what you are giving. And I think the push will keep coming. I think as companies scale in India, as we are going to see both $1 billion revenue companies, including
the enterprise, okay, correct.
Now, when you're talking about companies like Zomato and Swiggy, right? These companies operate at better or not the same standard as global counterparts, right? So they are, the digital natives are in India. And by the way, that's also an opportunity. If you have a product that Swiggy or a Zomato or Flipkart doesn't buy a lot of external software, but you know, Meesho buys, then you are actually ready to sell in the US. A lot of people don't realize that these companies, they operate at scale at a lower unit cost. You know, India has scale. For example, you know Akash, who built a Hotstar platform, a streaming platform.
Yeah.
It is the largest streaming platform in the world. The simultaneous views, nobody even comes close. Like, you know, the big bowl or the big football final
Super Bowl
in the US.
Super Bowl.
Right? Super Bowl. Like, the Super Bowl's got nothing on an IPL final, except the team at Hotstar's got to do with a fraction of the cost. And they do it year after year, right? So many years they've done it reliably and so on and so forth. So my point is, if you are somebody who's selling software to them, you're already being tested for unit economics, scale, performance, and now you go to the US, And suddenly everybody says, hey, you know, how is your software so cheap?
Hmm.
And how is it performing so well? So India gives you scale. It trains you in hardship, right? Indians are so good with, you know, our sort of randomness and noise and chaos, right? Indian manager, Shantanu, remember, right? We're great with chaos, right? Like if there is no chaos, you're wondering something is wrong. Like if you go into office and nobody's fighting with each other, like boss, today is a national holiday, right? We understand chaos. We are shaped by it. So my point is, look, there is a great case to be made. It's not just an emotional or cultural case. I think there's a financial case. And by the way, we're waiting for the first cohort. Right, like for D2C, we had a first cohort of companies go public, and everybody's now learning from that. Don't do this, do this, do that, right?
For us also, it was around year 5 where I started asking this question. I think it was year 6 or 7 when we were at Rebel, and all companies go through this. Ki, what are you? Are you a logistics company? Are you a food company? Are you a brand company? Are you a tech company? And I think wo
bro, ye mujhe lagta hai ye interest rate se linked hota hai. Jab interest rate 0 hota hai to sab log bolte hain main sab karunga, main sab karunga.
Ha.
Jaise interest rate upar hota hai, this question existential ho jata hai ki yaar main kya hoon.
No, I think many things, talent also, access to talent. Right?
Like, I think okay, it's culture. At some point of time you realize that you're getting very good talent around one vector, and that's your culture, that's your pull, and that's your strength, and you should just build around that versus trying to do everything else.
So look at, by the way, two successful examples of people, you know, who are like, who made the transition from build versus buy, right? I think Zomato and Swiggy do this very well. These are hardcore engineering cultures, right? I mean, they're obsessed, both, right? Design and all of that. You have to give credit where it's due, right? I'm not saying it's perfect, but you have to give credit. Both of these companies have pushed design forward in this, right? And so on. Look at what they do, right? The amount of software that these companies buy is fearsome. And the amount of software these companies build is also fearsome. But what happens is, you know, because, you know, obviously, if you look at their public filings, you see there's so much cost goes into R&D, right? Now they're obviously trimming. But, you know, the choice between make versus buy for Indian CTOs is already very difficult back from 2015, 16, 17. Before that, you had to, because there were not enough people selling high quality software to them. Today, for every category, you have an Indian option, right? I'm sure Chirag walks in and says, sir, I'll help you deliver push notifications. I'll help you deliver WhatsApp messages. That person has 20 choices available. And you know, in any market where you have 20 choices, people start slotting themselves into position. I sell to high end, I sell to the middle market, and then there's a long SMB tail, right? Like there are people out there today who are paying, you know, 100 rupees, 200 rupees. Shops are selling WhatsApp messages. People are, you know, this is such diversity.
Yeah.
Now, India business is going to be different, but yeah, the make versus buy argument is only made with people who were around back when this was true. It is no longer true. No company today can make end software of any reasonable. AI gives people hope. And many people quickly realize that I can't run my business on top of AI because my business needs to have at least 2 nines to operate well, right? If one customer complains, if 1% customer start complaining, that's already a dead business, right? If 1% transactions start failing, oh my God, you're so bad. Things are going to get so, so bad, right? So software is a tough business. It's almost like that ad agency thing. There was a time when there's a certain kind of a creative you do yourself. But then after a while, you realize, hey, boss, this is just not scalable. I can't attract these creative people to me. Right? Unless you are that creative person, unless you have that very, like unless you are the branding marketing CEO, right? You're going to have to work with a partner who's going to become your lifelong, like, you know, we are your visionaries and so on and so forth. It's not that different for software. This is the highest and the most expensive talent you could buy. So most people have already made that choice.
Mm. And so you're saying build versus buy, may that nuance is changing. People are saying, let's not try to build everything. But it's not just initial. Once they test and they see the software working, बाद में ये तो नहीं आता है कि सीएफओ से आएगा कि नहीं यार हम $3 million डाल रहे हैं हम बना लेते हैं और ताकि ये बिल कम हो जाएगा.
I think the biggest proponents of buy are actually CFOs, not build. Because see, the thing is, okay, the CFO can say ki, okay, if somebody is doing R&D, they will not be part of my costs because they're not directly contributing to the cost of goods sold. But the problem is, in the end, it's cons when you are, you know, it's cons when you're raising money from VC. The moment you go public, nobody cares about your GM. They only care about your operating margin. What's your gross and net ka difference? Hai, net kita hai, right? Profitable hai ki nahi hai, right?
And now then because everybody's going ki, okay, public, they're just saying, bhai, EBITDA kitna hai.
EBITDA
hai,
sab,
future expense, future R&D, capitalization, ye sab chodo. EBITDA kya hai, batao.
Even adjusted chodo, seedha batao, cash kitna hai.
Cash kita hai. And the moment you add salaries of your most expensive employees, and they're always going to be sitting in the tech bay, by the way. Tech bay or the marketing bay. These are the most expensive people you hire, right? And like, you know, your brand people today are especially good one and competent brand people are going to be reasonably expensive. They're probably going to be more expensive than, you know, people with taste are now more expensive than people who know tech. That's been true for the longest time. Now it has become manifest with everybody. Like today, even a small, like today, if you can't execute a great Instagram strategy, you're dead as a D2C brand, right? It's plain simple because otherwise you're going to be building a business of performance. And I think Shantanu will agree, right? You can't build a business of performance alone, right? Performance marketing. Same is true for software. I think eventually the CFO becomes the biggest catalyst in saying, let's just transition to buy for services, because Michael Porter on Competition said that BDS services will always remain undefeated, because the unless you can create a competition for the service that you need, and the market has competition. So Revanth, if you today want to buy a marketing partner, you know there are three companies today who you can set against each other, and they will fight to lower their price and deliver you the best service, and you win in the end, right? You can't do that with an internal team. Unless it's the one thing that makes you special, right? Unless it's the one thing that makes you special, you're not going to invest in it, right? And I know you've been a CFO before, right? You're not going to throw your money at a team that has no competition. While you can buy that service in a competitive marketplace, you will buy it from a competitive marketplace. And I think that's been true for a while.
That's a fair point, actually, that when you have three service providers, even in payments or in infrastructure, you will ideally say that mereko yaar ye price pe mil raha hai, and you will drive the price down. So the between the business and the finance folks, or the product business and finance folks, they will take a more thoughtful call on service levels alongside cost. And if you have two or three players, you always have enough optionality there versus trying to say build it, and then you're stuck with what you've built because wo sunk cost.
Let me put Chirag on the spot here.
I'll just add, isme bhi badal raha hai India. Jab 2020-2021 mein hota tha na, to I think when we used to pitch, a lot of people used to say, yaar humne khud banaya, hum khud banayenge, you don't know complexity. Hamara vision alag hai. Aapka vision alag hai, doesn't match with us. I think I hear a very, let's say, in our win-loss report, bahut hi kam hota hai abhi.
They were sitting with a last mile provider who said, I do 30-minute delivery, but I don't do dark stores. I only do the delivery boy who will go to the dark store and pick up. So I'm like, but I am not going to put dark stores like Blinkit. I can't put 3,000 dark stores. So I am asking other people to put dark stores. So you work with them. He's like, no, you split your order. Aap bolo dark store aap karo, like warehousing or logistics ye banda karega. So WMS and LSP. Main bola, bhai, main customer ko khush rakhne ka, main product bana raha hu, mere ko ye sab nahi karna hai karke. I don't want to get into this. Can you work with those guys? I have these four dark store providers. I can connect you to them. Uske liye aapko delivery karna tha, aap kar lo. I cannot work with you directly unless you do end-to-end. In fact, I'm telling the dark store guys that, boss, why am I doing a milk run and servicing these 10 dark stores in ye mera kaam nahi hai. Ek mother warehouse do, main wahan maal de dunga, mera kaam ho gaya. Ab tum aage wala karo kaam. Paisa banao tum, le lo. Because I think, I keep telling my team also, this is, you can't do everything. Like, stop trying to optimize every last bit ki nahi, ye bhi hum karenge, ye kar. I think we are control freaks. And the biggest thing I'm realizing, we are, नहीं हमारे पास कंट्रोल रहेगा, हम ये डिसाइड करेंगे. आपने कहा लेट द सॉफ्टवेयर डिसाइड. यू कीप कंट्रोल बाय कीपिंग 4 LSPs, बाय कीपिंग 7 वेयरहाउस प्रोवाइडर्स, बाय कीपिंग, आप ऑप्शनलिटी करो, आप स्विच करो चाहिए तो, बट डोंट ट्राई टू डू इट योरसेल्फ, बिकॉज दिस इट्स अ मिथ. कंट्रोल इज अ मिथ इन माय व्यू. आई थिंक देयर इज फार बेटर कंट्रोल इन जस्ट सेइंग दैट आई विल कीप यू अकाउंटेबल, एंड इफ यू डोंट आई मूव माय बिजनेस. दैट इज मोर कंट्रोल देन ट्राइंग टू से हम खुद करेंगे करके. आई थिंक ये थोड़ा कन्वर्जूट हो जाता है. आई थिंक ऑल ऑफ अस, or I don't know, maybe it's not even control, maybe it's just trying to justify why we need more people, or if I mera charter bada hoga, like main kya hi kar raha hu agar main sirf button press karke bol raha hu ki ye order shadow fax ko do aur ye delivery ko do, to how am I adding value? No, wo bhi acche se karo yaar. Matlab, in fact I send CEO emails every month to my team now, and usme I use the quote at the end. I usually put some inspirational quote, but this quote was actually an Indian founder only told me, his dad had told him डायरेक्ट बाई वेन वॉज यंग, दैट टोल्ड हिम दैट, हिंदी में बोला था कि तू बड़े हो कोई भले तू खेती कर और हल जतो, बट सबसे अच्छे हल जाओ, सबसे बड़ा बढ़िया फार्मर बनना करके. आई विल बी मोर प्राउड ऑफ दैट देन यू ट्राइंग टू डू एवरीथिंग, राइट? वॉट एवर यू डू, जस्ट डू योर बेस्ट, दैट्स इट. यू डोंट नीड टू बिकम लाइक सम रॉक स्टार एंड से दैट.
देवन, तुझे नहीं लगता कि हम सॉरी टू कट यू, बट हम जो है ना हसल को हर अलग चीज में ले जाते हैं. कि असल मींस कुछ कुछ करके फिगर आउट कर लेंगे, एंड देन इन परस्यू ऑफ दैट डोंट डू एक्सेलेंस.
सो दैट्स व्हाट यू आर सेइंग, ना, एक्सेलेंस इज मोर इंपॉर्टेंट देन द, एक्चुअली आई हैव अ बेटर वोकैबुलरी फॉर दिस. आई डिस्कवर्ड रिसेंटली, मुझे एक समवन टोल्ड मी कि व्हेन यू आर इन 0 to 1, व्हेन यू आर ट्राइंग टू फाइंड आउट व्हाट बिजनेस यू विल बिल्ड, यू आर ट्राइंग टू बी एज एफिशिएंट एज पॉसिबल, गेट टू द फास्ट, आइट्रेट फास्ट, फेल फास्ट, फेल चीप, इतने ही पैसे 18 महीने में फिगर आउट करना है आपको, सब कुछ जो भी है, राइट? After a certain point, you need to be effective. So there is, we are always in this efficiency mode. And after a point, you have to take effective. And there's a big difference between efficiency and effectiveness. Efficiency is get to the answer in the shortest time with the most less resources. Effectiveness is get to the right answer. And I think we don't come out of that zone ever, generally in India, because we have that chaos, hustle, jo bhi hai. Ki kabhi kabhi, what is the more effective solution is something to spend more time on.
If I may, I want to bring one simple concept from the world of software engineering to this. I think they're all dancing around it. It's called Conway's law. And Conway's law is very simple, that you always ship your org chart. That the product that you ship has the same complexity and the structure as your org chart. The corollary of the Conway's law is, right, that, you know, all organizations can only deal with the level of complexity that their organization has. And as founders, like, you know, the thing you're talking about, that, you know, I want to outsource this, I don't want to deal with this, is you know that the thing that will kill you is complexity. If you can't talk to every single effective piece of your organization, and you know that, you know, if it becomes too complex, the shit will show up in your product, right? People will start receiving a bad product, services tickets will, you're saying, you know what, I don't want to deal with more than 10 people on a daily basis. And the only way I can do that is if I finally say that, hey, can I encapsulate these complexities and give it to somebody and make it about their profit? Boss, I want 10 people to compete for this part of my business. And I want to pick the best one. Otherwise, you know, I want to bring Darwinian economics to customer support. I want to bring Darwinian economics to delivery. Darwinian effects to my last mile, or, you know, what have you. Maybe for manufacturing, right? Your manufacturing contract people probably bid. Or maybe you say, you know what, this is so core to me that I want to have one person who owns all of it, right? And stuff like that. And Conway's law, I think, applies everywhere. You shift the complexity of your org chart to the customer. And if in D2C, you know, you are literally next to the customer. The whole power that we have over the B2B companies like, Unilever and all of these is basically that we own all our customers, their data, their information, their knowledge, their relationship. These other companies don't. And I think that the tendency that you're describing is that, hey, I want to outsource everything, is effectively saying, you know what, I want to keep my company simple. And by doing some of this, you keep your company simple. You have one person who's responsible for marketing, and you say, you know what, you're also responsible for post-sale funnel. Right? Your job is also to continue to sell to the customer. And they say, you know, that is a complex customer. I have to have customer support. The difference between you and a big pharma company would be, for example, right? Or a nutraceutical company would be, they probably have some weird distribution structure that would be the traditional mistake. You own and are related to your customer. Your customers know that they can reorder product from you by just going to a place and saying reorder. And you will remember their context. You'll probably be able to upsell to other something to them and so on and so forth.
I was just saying that apna core pe double down karo. It's like how in, you know, a leadership coach will tell a person, kya, these are your strengths. These are your areas of improvement. Now you can try and do these areas of improvement versus delegate kar do isko. Ya isko aap cover kar lo by partnering with someone who's complementary and just focus on your areas of strength. Same thing in business. Na? Like partner with people who can give you complementary support and you double down on what is your key strength, which is consumer insight. Consumer love ke liye kya karna hai tumhe. Yes, do we need to get to the customer faster? Yes, but I would rather partner with people and tell them, get me to the customer faster, because the entire industry needs it. Meko akele ko nahi
chahiye. That's your classical comparative advantage by Ricardo, right? That, you know, do what you're best at. Yeah. Applies to countries, applies to companies too, right? Yeah. Do what you're best at, right? Generate alpha or generate enough leverage from that to buy what you're not best at.
Yeah.
Right? That's what countries are supposed to do, right? The reason Asian tiger economies grew, because, you know, Malaysia said that, you know, we have very educated people, we're going to build semiconductors. Right? But what we're not going to do is, we're not going to create food industry in this industry. So they've got richer faster. Where India says, you know, Swadeshi kapda, Swadeshi machine. So, you know, you have HMT, which is a nice relic. But, you know, nobody is saying HMT makes the best watches, right? No, but we have to make HMT. We'll make our own tractors. Same applies to countries, same applies to companies, right? You can do a lot of mediocre things, or you can do five amazing things with your world's best.
Yeah.
And then use that money and that leverage you have to buy everything else. I think that applies.
Yeah.
Generally, I was meaning to ask when you were discussing customer success also now, that where does he see it moving from here? I have in between heard from him that there is this movement towards field engineering. I keep hearing forward deployment engineers, abhi US mein, large enterprises mein. And is this a little bit of, you know, main to thoda peeche chala jata hun, IT companies used to do this staff augmentation. Is this a new branded version of staff augmentation, or is this something really different? And is this really replacing customer success? By the way, just for context, I think both Revanth and Shantanu, you know, software companies, like we started discussing, that started with this customer success hona chahiye, who takes care of you, ensures that software is well adopted, and then over time helps in retention, sells more, etc. I think that is, at least in very large enterprises, these AI companies are saying, we are doing this forward deployment engineer. Naya word hai. Forward deployment engineer. So that is what at least my question was, ki, is this the new way of...
Let me contextualize it. Yeah. Shantanu, a customer success person, basically a client servicing used to be old agencies. Basically the same person, right? They don't know much. They are not going to do much. But their job is अंदर का स्टोर लेके बाहर बताने का, बाहर का स्टोर बोलना, सर देखिए अगर हमने ये कर दिया तो कस्टमर दुखी हो जाएगा, राइट? उनका काम है कुछ भी हो जाए, डोंट लेट देम वॉक आउट द रूम, टेक देम आउट टू फैंसी डिनर्स एंड मेक श्योर दैट एबल टू यूज अस टू देयर मोस्ट इफेक्टिव पोटेंशियल, राइट? इफेक्टिवली क्लाइंट सर्विसिंग यू रिमेंबर वाज यूज्ड टू बी अ शिट जॉब, राइट? कस्टमर सक्सेस इजंट मच बेटर ईदर, बट इट वाज अ ग्रेट वे टू अंडरस्टैंड द कस्टमर एंड बिल्ड अदर बिजनेसेस, राइट? मोस्ट पीपल फ्रॉम क्लाइंट सर्विसिंग वेंट ऑन टू बिल्ड बिजनेस बिकॉज़ यू नो दे यू गेट अ अमेजिंग नेटवर्क. Now, forward deployed engineers, a term that actually comes from Palantir. Right? They first started doing it because they started working with these. You know, the advantage and why it's transitioning is customer success used to be, we will talk to the customer, we'll understand their concerns, take it back internally, give it to product, and product will build something, and there's always a queue, right? They're consolidating everything. What happened is, more and more customers saying that as speed of business increases, as internal clock speed of businesses has increased, they're saying, yaar, aap na kaam kijiye, you bring somebody who knows how to do this.
Oh, translation error. I think you missed the translation error. कि कस्टमर सक्सेस जब बताता है, प्रोडक्ट मैनेजर उसको कॉन्फिगर करता है, उसी में ही लाइफ चली जाती है. आइडियली यू आर राइट, ऑल एटलीस्ट आई वी वर्क विद दिस D2C ब्रांड्स, ना सब लोग आइडियली तो यही चाहते हैं कि डायरेक्ट प्रोडक्ट मैनेजर से बात करा दो.
करेक्ट, जस्ट ब्रिंग द प्रोडक्ट मैनेजर और ब्रिंग द इंजीनियर. सो व्हाट पीपल कंपनीज आर ट्रांजिशन टू इज दैट लुक इंक्रीजिंगली बाय द वे एज आल्सो द सोफिस्टिकेशन ऑफ द बायर इज इंक्रीज, दे सेइंग दैट लुक वी ऑलरेडी नो हाउ टू डू मोस्ट ऑफ दिस थिंग, वी कैन डू डॉक्यूमेंटेशन. But there are these steps that we're not able to get. Don't make me look at the documentation. That'll take 20 days. I'm saying, sir, I have this person who's going to come down with you, who's going to sit down with you and, you know, effectively be your team lead or somebody who's going to sit in your office and just get you to ship things. People love it. They're saying, hey, you know what? We spoke to a very high agency customer success guy, right? They could just simply go do things. And what's happened is it's also because software engineering and at young levels, people are also realizing, used to be you a software engineer, get a job, you'll write code for 5 years internally. Now, a lot of these people are also very cool. They say, you know, I want to go out in the field. I want to be in the customer location, learn about their problems. I want to do more things. So talent has become more willing to do non-engineering things, right? Because, hey, can I do a bit of a salesy thing, right? So as a field engineer, right, you have this blend where you're talking to the customer, you're going to their offices. By the way, if nothing else, you're flying out, right? How many engineers get a travel budget, right? Today, you have a travel budget. And that's, by the way, a big perk, right? You're traveling, you're seeing the world. Guy will say, you know, I was at Bombay Shaving Company's office. They had this big problem. We flew there and, you know, the founder walked in and had a fun thing. They'll probably take a selfie with you. Wo apne group mein baatega, bolega, boss, tu podcast dekhta hai, main usko milke aaya, right? So it's like a customer success person, mein bolunga that if you meet a technical requirement, I'll make you into a forward deployed engineer. Wow, that sounds hot, right? Uska dating profile mein usko 5 swipe extra milega, right? All of that adds up. So it's more attractive, it's more effective, and, you know, it's a higher agency. Effectively, you're getting consulting mixed in with some engineering work and all that. So again, it just become a value added. And by the way, that's great because my time to value for the customer reduces. I don't have to wait for the customer to fumble their way around the software. Main jaake usko karke dikha sakta. Like, it's like how Boeing sends their pilots with the plane to teach the airline's pilot how to fly the damn plane, right? And train them. It's effectively that, right? People have been doing this. We just invented a fancier term because it sounds like a space age forward deployed engineers, right? Now, when my FDs are going to hear this, they're going to say, Kuldeep, is that what you've been pulling on me? So look, I put my neck on the line for you guys.
But Kuldeep, Palantir ne kara ye, don't you think this is currently only applicable for very high ACV clients?
Yes.
Kaise bhejoge aap?
But you see, the thing about very high ACV clients is they have a lot of talent. But when you deploy a such, you know, it's like what is called as a staggered light formation in battle, right? That you put your strongest people on your weakest customers, your customers grow faster. They're like, oh my God, this guy sent an engineer. We were supposed to go live in 20 days and we left live in 3 days, right? So what happens is when you're able to deploy outsized opportunity, remember, we work very high cost margins, which is when I apply outsized service to a customer that wasn't expecting it, right? There's also a lot of delight. Right. So people basically, so, you know, it's easier to do the same thing for every customer than to do different thing for different customers. Discrimination in service becomes a very difficult thing because how do you decide? Becomes arbitrary. Price discrimination is easier. So what you do is that, hey, you know what? In aggregate, on average, you deliver better value to your smaller customer than your larger customer. But your larger customers are already getting amazing value. So the smaller customers are being blown away. So those customers grow faster and it just becomes a great partnering thing. And the advantage of then, you know, selling to India then becomes is because it's so easy to do that my American counterparts can't deliver that service, which means that becomes my ledge for holding those customers on. So it kind of works. It's a great thing. And I'm telling you, the easiest thing that has happened is that engineers are now more willing to be forward deployed engineers because they say that there is no, like most engineers know that they're probably not writing code 10 years from now. Nobody believes that they'll be writing code. They don't believe it's a defensible skill. Software engineering is the only discipline that human endeavor that we've created that has made itself outdated by its own work. like software engineers have finally invented ki yaar hamara kaam khatam hi ho jayega iske baad. Every profession has made itself more complicated. Software engineer is working towards completely making itself obsolete, right? No young software engineer entering today believes they'll be software engineers. They all want to be artists. They all want to go, you know, run cafes and build shoes and make t-shirts. And you know, Instagram pe kitne t-shirt brand ki ad aati hai. I love it because everybody wants to get into clothing. The reason they want to get into clothing is India has a full supply chain. Hum apna pura ka pura kapda yahan seedh sakte hai, bana sakte hai, dhaage se leke, kapde se leke, garment se leke, shipment sab kuch hai, right? So software engineers saying ki yaar hum engineers, people are remembering hum engineers hain. I'll tell you, the most in-demand job 10 years from now, gentlemen, is going to be a civil engineer, because, you know, nobody complains about quality of software. They complain about the potholes. You know why? Because we haven't gotten new blood into civil engineering in the last 20 years. Every IT civil engineer is in the US working at Google. I'm not even kidding you with that, right? They are at FAANG companies. So I'm telling you, like today, if I was a 23-year-old, I would go to the ITIs and learn plumbing. Because when somebody's toilet chokes, right? You know when this new company that went IPO,
Urban.
And they're saying that, you know, there are people making 100,000 rupees, right? And the people making more money than TCS. It is a vision of the future.
I think
it is a vision. We will finally learn dignity of labor at the point of a gun.
IITN will say, I will create a robotics company and make Optimus Prime like Elon Musk is, who will come and fix your pipe. Because it's more money. Unfortunately, dekho, aap 22 saal ke, they are dreamers, yaar. You can't tell them plumbing sikho. No, wo bolenge main AI company, robotics company banaunga jo plumbing karega aapke liye.
Abhi hawa mein gaadi chalegi to pothole ka chalna hi nahi.
Haan.
Wo IITN karega, sir. Wo IITN karega. But you know, the guy who went to Phenolics Academy of Management Technology in Ratnagiri saying ki, boss, you know what? I'm going to go bloody fix electric cars. Right? There is money to be made everywhere, right?
I agree on the dignity of labor and the fact that, yeah, there is no job. You go to Ikigai, right? I mean, wo to bolte na, you should enjoy the work and the world should need it and should be ready to pay you for it. So, find joy in whatever. I think there is enough money now to be made everywhere. I think people, going back to the point I made, I think people have stopped asking themselves, what will I have fun doing? And I think the answer is better suited there. By the way, on that note, I know we need to wrap, but I just saw Moengage raised 100 million. So, our episode seems to be very timely in that sense. Suddenly, in all the IPO noise, some SaaS companies are doing well, and I'm sure it'll at least be in the news for a couple of days before the episode drops. So,
from what I understand, they may be flipping back to India and getting ready for IPO. They've gone public with this. We know that CleverTap's talking about going public, and that's something they keep talking about, right? Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the day when we have SaaS companies and, you know, IPOs, and when people, you know, analysts break them apart, try to understand well, because this will widen. I'm telling you, it's the decade after that that'll get interesting. And I fully expect in the next 1 or 2 years, some of these companies will go IPO, right? I mean, you know, all the best to Moengage, all the best to CleverTap. I fought on that battle, right, from side of CleverTap, and it was interesting, right? Great game. And this is going to be amazing, right? Chirag's going to IPO, right? It's basically a software company. And before them, right, Chirag, the price will be set by a bunch of other companies that are going public, right? Everybody has got so nuanced. And, you know, like, I'm thinking 10 years from now, we'll have a tech company. You know, there's already that Indian Digital Index ETF. I buy that. I'm waiting for the day until that thing has like 20, 30, 40 stock baskets.
There'll be a SaaS index amazing at some point of time.
SaaS index ETF, why not, right? And that will be the day, right, where we will actually become like a massive economy, right? I mean, if you're going to be a 4 trillion, 10 trillion, 20 trillion, 50 trillion, whatever economy, I don't know what the upper goal is. Software is going to have a part of it. Software is human effort compressed.
On that
note. Yeah, as news achhi aati rahengi fir.
Chirag ka valuation, ye episode ke baad GoQuick ka valuation 20 taka badh gaya hai.
Are sir, hum to allocation ki line mein lage hue hain. Dekho sir, main ye bata dunga, he runs the highest gross margin business on this podcast.
That I agree.
Right? So there is that. And his marginal cost is actually zero.
अरे सर हम भी तो सेल्स वाले उसमें अटके हुए हैं
सभी अटके हुए सर देयर ओनली टू प्रॉब्लम्स इन दिस वर्ल्ड टू मेक समथिंग एंड टू सेल समथिंग एवरीथिंग एज ए सपोर्ट
एवरीथिंग एज एसेंशियल
वी एग्री विद दैट
आपने सिखाया था एवरीथिंग एल्स इज एसेंशियल
ब्यूरोक्रेसी या आई मीन आई सॉ मी वाज पीटर ड्रकर हु सेड दैट बट फेयर
यार ये अच्छा है यार ये इतना अंग्रेजी आना चाहिए कभी तो ये ज्ञान बढ़िया देते कुलदीप इंग्लिश वर्ड्स बढ़िया एकदम सिंपल वर्ड्स
भाई वो ट्विटर पे थे मेरे को लगता है आधे लोगों को समझ में नहीं आता कि ये मेरी
दिस वाज द ब्राइटेस्ट स्पॉट इन माय वीक सो थैंक यू सो मच फॉर द हाई क्वालिटी कन्वर्सेशन
नो प्लेजर यार आई सैट बैक एंड रिलैक्सड एंड एंजॉयड द फ्लो ऑफ आइडियाज इज वेरी 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 कूल थैंक यू कुलदीप
आई वुड लव टू शेयर अ ड्रिंक और अ कॉफी वन ऑफ दिस डेज शांतनु बिग फैन राइट
वेयर आर यू बेस्ड सर कहां पे बेस्ड बैंगलोर
आई वर्क आउट ऑन न्यू बॉम्बे बेलापुर
वेरी क्लोज टू पुणे शांत
अरे वाह
ऐसा नहीं रेवन पुणे मत बोलो यार तुम भी
नहीं ही लैंड्स इन बॉम्बे एंड ही यूजुअली ड्राइव्स डाउन टू पुणे सो इट्स ऑन द वे दैट्स व्हाई आई
वाज वेरी सून यू लैंड इन न्यू बॉम्बे सर
हो गया ना ऑपरेशन हो गया ना
It will, sir. And apparently, in a couple of weeks, we'll start.
Boss, the other day, someone came to meet me. He took a Bombay Ghaziabad flight because it was for 5,000 rupees.
I know. So brilliant. Ghaziabad
is that driver. Kya gaya.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Like Ghaziabad and Noida. Like, we're finally going to the world where New York has 4 airports, Bombay has 2 airports.
दिल्ली में मेन एयरपोर्ट भी तीन टर्मिनल अभी बड़े बड़े T1, T2, T3 नोएडा गाजियाबाद एंड फरीदाबाद ऑल्सो एयरपोर्ट
इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर बम्बई में एक नहीं इतना बड़ा एयरपोर्ट अमेरिका तक डायरेक्ट फ्लाइट्स राइट मतलब यू कैन फ्लाई डायरेक्टली टू यूएस फ्रॉम इंडिया
माय ब्रदर इज इन अ फ्लाइट फ्रॉम दिल्ली टू सैन फ्रांसिस्को डायरेक्ट राइट नाउ And my dad is like tracking. I'm like, wow, this is yeah, right.
It's amazing, right? We live in the future, right? I mean, like, you know, and by the way, this is one thing that keeps me going. A lot of people have said a lot of things about where it's going into. Raven's earlier point, right? You know, no one saw India's exponential growth. There's so much to be negative about, right? I mean, look, everything in India has been shit. You know, my father once showed me, there's a song, right? Ye hai Bombay meri jaan, black and white, right? But, you know, he posits it in a strategic place and saying, better dekh peeche kya ho raha hai? Sadke khud hi padi hai. You watch that video and the people digging the road at the back, right? I think they shot the video on a random Worli seafront or whatever, right? And he's like, beta, dekh, tab bhi black and white era mein yahi Bombay tha. Yahan pe India na hamesha khuda hi rehta hai aur aage chalta rehta hai. But the thing is, look at the size of what we're dealing with, right? And look at in this room, I wonder, right? Dude, you're running a nutraceutical company out of Bombay. What the hell? When was that last time that was possible, right? I mean, Shantanu delivers like, I mean, you're challenging an FMCG giant, right? I am trying to build a software in a market where there are $3-10 billion companies, right? Doing $10 billion revenue, not valuation, by the way, right? And Chirag is, well, you know, I'm not even going to talk about Stripe and Razorpay and Pine Labs and so on and so forth. I mean, it's amazing. And it's possible with a person whose grandpa was a farmer, right? And I think all of us have stories like that. And I think that's, if nothing else, that our generation will be the one that writes the story of when India finally took that big jump ahead. Sure, some guy will say, oh, but look, China. I'm like, uski kahani, uski, main to meri dekh raha hu. Sharma ji ke bete ko dekh ke, tumhe IT nahi gaya.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you too. I agree. Yeah. Anyway. Fully agree. I think I keep remembering because I spent most of my life in Bombay. It's always dug up. And there was always that barrier that is there to prevent traffic from going there. And uspe likha rata hai, investing for a better, please bear with us for a better tomorrow. That's
20
साल हो गए we are still
the message hasn't changed,
it's okay
right?
We are all solving for a better tomorrow, let's just worry about tomorrow
like,
versus today.
I feel like somebody has to make a Saki Naga reference here, right? Sorry Shantanu, but Saki, if you don't know from Bombay, right, Saki Naga is this one exchange that yeah. was dug up for 20 years, man.
Yeah. it's a
people say people go to Saki Naga to create traffic ki kahan ja rahe ho Saki Naga ja rahe ho traffic banane ke liye. That's objective. Awesome. All right, guys, I have to get on to a call. But Kuldeep was such a pleasure, man. You're so full of energy and spirit. It was outstanding, man. It's amazing to be a part of this.